It's my fault.
Okay. I've just gotten back from Europe. We've had a really great time there. We visited some churches. We had a team from South Africa that joined us from Worcester. I think I Worcester. In South Africa, we have a Worcester as well. But this is really great, I must say. We joined them. Well, they joined us in Zurich for the ministry camp we had there, and it was really a really blessed time. I haven't experienced the Holy Spirit like that in a long time. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when you go to Europe, you have this expectation of, I don't know. It's often when I travel there, I feel it's spiritually heavy. You know, there's it's definitely not like some parts of Africa where you feel like spiritually it's quite open. But it's really amazing that if we submit to what God wants to do, then nothing can hold back what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It was really powerful. So that was really amazing. I want to really encourage you. The next weekend in Switzerland will be the week after the ministry camp. So if you want to really stretch your faith, come to the ministry camp to receive, and then join us the next week to give in Switzerland. Are you with me? So receive at the one and serve at the other one. So you guys are very excited about that. That's great. Just on that quickly, the ministry camp this year is going to be a little bit different than in the past. We are going to make it much more outward focused. Okay, so where in the past it's been very much kind of a family, shofar family camp, now we want to make it open to as many people as possible. We're getting a team from South Africa to come and help out. We're getting some of the shofar band that have just released a new CD. Some of them are coming over, not the whole band, okay? We don't have that much money. But some of them are coming over, and we're really expectant of what God wants to do. So I want to really encourage you. This is an opportunity to invite some friends for the weekend. I know it's a bank holiday weekend, but it's really reasonable in terms of accommodation. It's a beautiful setting. And whether the person is a regular churchgoer or not at all, they're going to be blessed. There's amazing time for fellowship. It's a beautiful place. And obviously, there's amazing times of ministry. So I want to really encourage you, invite those friends and neighbors. Even it's not only for people in shofar. You know, if you have friends that are wanting to be blessed, even if they're from another church, they're welcome to join us. We're going to have some friends that were in shofar that will join as well. So you're really welcome. Okay, so please invite people. I know of a few that have been confirmed of the guys that are coming from South Africa, and they're really going to bless us, guys. Okay, so I want to come with an expectation and bring somebody along. Okay, and share the blessing. Yes, great. Okay, we'll work on that excitement. Woo! Okay. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, God. We thank you that as we draw near to you, we have an absolute conviction, Lord, and a confidence that you draw near to us. We thank you that your word is alive, God. It's powerful. And that as we draw near to you and as we submit to your word, Lord, we can trust and we can know that, Lord, that you transform us this morning as we yield to you, as we yield to your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And we ask, do your will in us this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Do your will in us, and let your name be glorified, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So, I have a quick exercise before we get going. I was trying to figure out how many people do we encounter on a daily basis. I suppose if you're a farmer, like up on the hills in some of the parts of Switzerland we were at, that might not be many. Okay, maybe your sheep or your goat. I don't know what they farm there. They have these cows with the bells. But if you're living in London, I'm hoping it'll be a bit more than the guy there on the hill in Switzerland. But quickly think, on your way this morning, how many people, you know, if you took a bus, obviously the bus driver, maybe somebody sitting next to you, I don't know, somebody at a ticket counter if you came by tube. Quickly, how many people do you think? Just quickly think. I can't make a call. Nobody. That's embarrassing. Okay. But if you go, so in a work day, I suppose that number climbs, unless you work in a small isolated cell, or unless you are in isolation in a high security prison. And apparently on average, in terms of new people that we meet, apparently on average it's about two or three new people per day. Hectic, eh? But if you think about it, it's quite cool. You know, even in Europe now, you know, when going through a day, even the person serving you coffee or maybe somebody that's just, you know, next to you on the train or something, we encounter people all the time. It's amazing. I love it. It's part of life and it's exciting. And I just had we had a few very cool encounters on this mission. And going forward from Zurich, we went into Germany. And then from there on, a few of us went up to the Netherlands. I was doing most of the driving because it's cheaper with a hired car just to have one driver. So I drove about 2,000 kilometers in a few days. So it was exciting. But it was interesting for me because going from Zurich, where I knew what was going to happen, I planned it. Forward, I didn't know what was going on. I was just there. And I was just, you know, excited for what was going to do, but I didn't know what was going to happen. But it was such a blessing to experience what God wanted to do, because I had to be really, you know, sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, because since I hadn't planned anything, you know, I had to really trust God, if you know what I'm saying. And it was really a blessing. And what I want to get to is that in every encounter that we have, say, for instance, if you came by train this morning, or every encounter that you have, you speak to somebody, even if it's very briefly, even if it's somebody at a till, in a shopping, or in a store, there is an opportunity, or there's a moment there where we can do one of two things. We can either just kind of drift through it, or we can deliberately leave something behind. Okay, now I'm thinking, what on earth is he talking about? But think about this, you know, if you meet, say, if we encounter like 10 or 20 people per day, say the person at the coffee place, or, you know, like I've been saying, can I quickly ask, in a rough week, and if you think about on Monday, maybe Monday morning's not a good idea, maybe Tuesday morning when you're already into the working week, what do you leave with that person? Is there a smile at least? Is there a good morning? Is there is there a bit of an encouragement there? And the amazing thing is, as people of God and as children of God and having the Holy Spirit with us, there's a very powerful thing that we are able to impart every time we meet with somebody. I'm just going to quickly start with something in Scripture, then we're going to take it forward. Okay. From Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God speaking to the guys. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And then he says, Matthew 5 there, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, we know these scriptures, but for me it's such a powerful picture of us as believers carrying the blessing of God. Every moment we have with somebody else, there's a choice we can make. Is it going to be a blessing or is it not? Okay. Is it going to be, am I going to leave something with that person? Or am I just going to, I'm running after something, I'm in my hurry. And I'm like that often, okay? So I'm preaching at myself here this morning. Or am I going to take that, even if it's just a moment with that person at the till, am I going to make it count? Now you get, I don't know, there's nobody like that here this morning, but there are people that when you meet them, or you spend time with them, you walk away and you think, wow, that was hard work, eh? I don't know, you guys aren't like that. Yeah. or you spend time with somebody and it's really hard work and they really kind of drain you a bit, and then you get the other side of the coin. You get people when you meet with them or you spend time with them, you're just like, wow, I feel great. I love spending time with this person. Yeah, we've got some of you here this morning that are like that. Our teachers are like that. Have you met our teachers? And even Bessie, she was working. She's also a teacher. Bessie's a person like that. You know, just alive and smiling, and you know, you feel, wow, praise God. You know, I'm ready. I can go forward from here. But that's, even that is a choice. Hey, are we imparting life or are we sucking the life out of the situation? Again, nobody here is doing that, I know. Now, in terms of, and then there's a blessing or a curse that we can leave with them, life or death. We had a thing that we did in school when I think it was primary school. Okay, I can't remember why, but one of the guys brought a little dynamo to school. You know what a dynamo is? It's a little thing that produces electricity when you make with movement. Okay, so they had a little. My English is brilliant this morning. Had a little, it's a little generator basically. But this one had one, had a little thing that you turn. What would that be? A little, yes. And very good. This is a team effort this morning. The faster you turn it, the stronger the current. Okay, and then there were two little contact points. And what we did, obviously, being boys, we held on to them, you know. And then you turn it as fast as you can. You see how long you can hold on before you know. Obviously, it's not really dangerous because you can't get that much energy, you know, or you can't generate that much electricity by just turning it with your hand. But it was great fun. And what we did next is we thought, no, let's take it a step forward. So we held hands in a big circle, right? And then the two guys at the contact points, they were the keys, they had to hold on the longest. And then we saw how far does it go? It was really cool. You know, it just goes all the way. And everybody's like feeling the little tingles and things. Have you ever experienced that electricity? If you haven't, we have got some 9-volt batteries at the back there. You can just put it on your tongue. The two connect and you'll know what I'm talking about. And then obviously we try to see, you know, who's the weakest link, who's going to let go first, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that. But when I was preparing and praying through this, I really feel it's almost like that. It's when we touch somebody, even if it's not physically, when we have that contact with somebody, we are able to actually leave a spark there, leave a bit of life there, leave a blessing there. And now there are two levels that this can happen. The first one is we don't even know it, but it's happening. And that does happen because it's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory, right? So there is definitely an aspect of you and I, because we have the Spirit of God upon us and because we have the presence of God with us, we can expect to be a blessing wherever we go, right? In other words, where you're studying or where you're working or where you're living, that place, I've got great news for you guys. That place is blessed because you are there. Not just because, not maybe, hopefully because you're also doing great work and because you are a great person, but just because of the Holy Spirit in you, when you are at work and because you are working for that company, that place is blessed because God is with you. Amen. Now we can have that expectation. And we spoke about the goodness and the mercy of goodness. They follow us. Okay, you can't get rid of them. Goodness and mercy of God, and everywhere we go, that is with us. But the second level this happens is very deliberate. Is I choose to leave a blessing. I choose to impart life. It might just be short. It might just be a smile. It might just be a thank you. It might just be a how are you doing type of situation. Very brief. But there's a deliberate choice that we make to either impart life or lose that opportunity. Right, let's go on. So what are we going to leave behind? Luke 10, 5 to 6, this is amplified version. Whatever house you enter, this is just context. Jesus sends out the disciples, 70 others, and he gives them some instructions as they go. He says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this household. Freedom from all the distresses that result from sin be with this family. That's quite powerful. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and blessedness you wish shall come upon them, But if not, it shall come back to you. This is a powerful principle. And funny enough, I always get reminded of this when I'm on mission somewhere, because everything you do is deliberate. But this is not. This is something we can live. We could live with this, just, you know, day by day. This should be a lifestyle. So remember, you know, when you go to a place, when you go to a town, when you go to a place, you do an outreach, there's a very deliberate place where you feel, wow, we've been received, and we leave our blessing there. Obviously, and it hasn't happened a lot, but if you read a bit on there, the converse is, if there isn't somebody, a man of peace, as the scripture calls it, then and you aren't received well, then there's a place where you actually, the scripture says, shake even the dust off your feet, and then it is not blessed for that place. But that doesn't happen often, okay? But this is a very powerful principle where you and I, even when we go visit somebody's house, or you go to a specific place, you can choose to say, I bless this place, peace upon this place. I leave a blessing here. Okay, but this is deliberate. So this is not just I'm floating in and floating out and my head is in five different places. This is deliberate. God, let your blessing be here. Amen. Very powerful thing. And trust me, you want that to happen when people come to your house as well. Okay. So what is it that we leave behind? What is it that we impart in those moments, those moments that we have every day? Now, let's quickly go on. Okay. Now, firstly, as we read now the scriptures, you know, we read the whole thing about life and death. Now, it's not always that serious, okay? So it's not like somebody's going to die if you don't bless them or something like that. I'm not saying that. But I was challenged with something this week. I had a first. So somebody calls the office on Thursday, and this is way after 5. I should have been on my way home. And I answer, and it's a lady that we prayed with a year ago at the Wimbledon Fair. We had a prayer tent. Okay, so we prayed with her and her son, who was with her, and he had cancer. Right, so this is quite a hectic situation. So she calls me this week, and she's got tragic news. Her son has passed away. And you can clearly hear, I mean, she's 60, her son is only 37, he's what, a year or so older than me, he's got 2 small children. Tragic, tragic situation, and we're going to please pray for them. And she's distraught, but she asks me whether I could come and pray for her son. Okay, and this is a first for me, because she says she's got faith that God will raise him from the dead. Okay, so now I haven't gone to pray. I know you all want to know, but the morgue hadn't released the body yet, so we were hoping for Friday, but it will hopefully be Monday. So please pray for me on Monday, because I'm going to be praying for a dead person. But I know at least 2 shofar pastors that have seen people raised from the dead. So it's not a foreign thing. God still does it today. So we're going to trust God. But as I was kind of praying through this now, and I'm trying to hear God's heart for the situation, because obviously we want to support the people. Obviously we want to encourage them. Obviously we want to love them. We want to do whatever we can to help. And you know what? If God wants to do it, he's more than able to raise this guy from the dead. He's been passed for a week or so already. But I mean, we see it in scripture. It's not a foreign thing. It is in scripture. We've seen it today. But that's not what I want to focus on. While I was praying about this, God laid something on my heart. And it kind of challenged me. Because he said, Now I'm thinking, you know, should I be fasting now? You know, should I be extra focused? And the Lord says, why are you making such a big thing out of this? This guy was born again. Okay, he knows God. Obviously, his family is it's a terrible tragedy. Don't get me wrong. But he is born again. He's got eternal life. But he says, why are you so stressed about praying for this guy that there are people all around you today, now, that do not have life? They are just as dead spiritually as that guy is physically. And you still have an opportunity to change that, to give them, at least give them the news of salvation. Are you with me? So I was like, oh, wow, that's a good point, you know. Why am I not wrestling with God so much anymore about those around me that do not have eternal life, that are not born again? I'm stressing about this guy, and obviously, yes, I trust God, and I'll put him up, you know, trust everything I got. But why are we not wrestling with God about those that are around us that don't have eternal life? And you know, the question we ask then is, do we believe what the scripture says about eternal life? It's not a heavy point, but it's an important one. Either we believe scripture and we believe that heaven is real. I believe it is. I've got great news, guys. It's good news. Heaven is real. It's going to be amazing. Woo! You know, something great to look forward to. I mean, it's beyond anything we've ever imagined. I mean, I love these testimonies that are coming out, not of some guy that is writing a book and making lots of money about his experience with heaven. That also happens, and I'm not saying it's not true, but there's a few testimonies I've listened to of young children below the age of talking nonsense and making stuff up because they want to make money out of it, saying stuff about heaven that is very scriptural, and you can actually collaborate what they're saying. Okay, the one guy is a little boy in South Africa. After he had this heaven experience, he said to his parents, he met this boy up there in heaven, and he loved playing the drums, the boy asked him to go and encourage his parents. So the boy in heaven explained to him where he lives, okay, and he said to please go there. So they found the place. It's far from where they live. It's near the Vaal River, and they found this family, and apparently their boy, it was a Down's syndrome. He had Down syndrome. And firstly, he was 100% normal in heaven. Okay, so we're glorified there. Praise the Lord. Secondly, apparently he loved playing the drums. And they could tell him, listen, your boy is like going for it in heaven on the drums. You know, he's really going for it. And it was brought such joy to those parents. But in any case, long story, heaven is real. But now, guys, the bad news is hell is just as real. And the fact that we can have eternal life and we can have eternal joy and eternal peace with God is real. But the fact that there is an alternative is also real. So this is the bit of a sobering moment for us, is that unless we believe that everybody is going to be okay in the end, this is something to take note of. Okay, let's quickly run through some scriptures. I'm going a bit slow with the scriptures. Mark 16, 15 and 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, whoa. John 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And 14:6, he said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I can give you hundreds of lots of these scriptures, guys. Scripture is very clear. There's only one way. And we have today we have something called universalism, where it says basically everybody is going to be fine. Doesn't matter which road you take, you're going to be okay. Doesn't matter which path you take, which religion you choose, which belief or which way of life, all of those will eventually lead to God and it's going to be fine. Okay, now if we believe that, then we can take a holiday and everything will be fine. We can relax. But if we believe Scripture, it means that Jesus is the only way. Okay, and this is not something I'm saying. I'm not being arrogant because it's my idea. It's what Scripture says. Okay, now this leaves us with a challenging situation. And this is what God put on my heart is every day we have encounters with people. And I'm not saying you should pray the sinner's prayer with every person you meet. Please don't get me wrong. But every moment we have with somebody, there's an opportunity to impart life. And not only to be a nice person or to throw a nice smile or to, if you got new teeth, to... but to impart life so that they can be saved deliberately for a reason, for a purpose. So for instance, you know, there's a beautiful article in the newsletter. Please, if you don't have it or if you didn't get it, ask me and I will email it to you and then you can subscribe, okay? Brilliant stuff, amazing encouragement in there, great testimonies. There's a great one in there of our pastor that planted a church in Secunda, which is a small kind of industry town in South Africa. And before he went, he did one of those stage races, the mountain biking, the Cape Epic. It's like 8 days, and he was really thin. He's trained hard, and he lost a lot of weight. And now I'm just giving you this background. It sounds weird. But then going to Secunda, this place, he felt on his heart that he should deliberately create a place for him to connect with other people, to connect with the local people. And he started training and he started to prepare himself so that he could play rugby, because that's something he can do. So he started preparing himself so that he can play rugby in that town, and in that way, make an impact on the local community. But how's this for deliberate? So he started gymming, he started training, he picked up 20 kilos, not fat, okay? Just, it's crazy. This guy's huge now, okay? I'm just saying this because coming from a stage race where you try and get rid of all the weight you have to a place where you can play club rugby for a town like that is quite huge, okay? But I'm talking about somebody deliberately saying, God, how can I get into the space of these people? And he's just doing quite well. About four families have been saved. Others are being impacted. Lives are being transformed. And this guy is deliberately putting himself in that position to be salt and light. Isn't that powerful? But it's deliberate. He's positioning his life so that he can be, so that he can have those contact moments with people. Are you with me? So there's a very deliberate part of it, but then there's also the day-to-day moments, the day-to-day encounters. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so just to affirm what we've been saying, let it be known to you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is after somebody got healed, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. The guy that got healed. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Guys, don't we want people to have that experience when we've had a moment with them? You know, that spark when you have a conversation with somebody on the bus or at work and they walk away and they think, wow, geez, but this guy isn't trained. He's just a normal guy. He's just one of us. And then the revelation, but wow, there's something different here. This guy, he's got Christ in his life. There's power here. There's life here. There's something I need. There's something I want. Amen? Look at how powerful this is. He says that there's no other name, but then they said they recognized that these guys have been with Jesus. You know what? Even if it's just 2 seconds when I'm with somebody, I want them to recognize that. I want them to experience Christ in me. And that's deliberate. We were in the Netherlands, this one place, we were just watching a football together with a student group, and just a bunch of students. We didn't know who's who. We just got there. We didn't know anybody except the pastor. And we were watching the football, and praise the Lord, the Netherlands won, so everybody was happy. But I remember speaking to somebody who was sitting next to me, and she said she's, you know, just got engaged and getting married and stuff. So cool. And we chatted a bit and then watched the football. And later on, I really want to pray for her and her fiance. I just felt the Lord wants to just bless them, you know. And at the same time, my colleagues were chatting with the lady as well, and they were talking about her getting married. And somebody else, one of our group, was talking to her fiance in another place, and the Holy Spirit was saying the same thing to all of them. So when I got to them and said, listen, I just feel we need to pray for you, they were like, you know, did we organize this beforehand? But it was so blessed because the Lord obviously laid this on our hearts, and we could pray with them and we could really bless them. But there was life imparted there. Okay, Holy Spirit organized and Holy Spirit conspired life. Another place, we were praying at a church up in Utrecht, and we. We were doing some, you know, prayers and stuff, and then we went to have a coffee, all right? Very normal thing to do. And the lady behind the counter, she was pregnant and was serving us, and we were chatting. And then I felt Holy Spirit just saying something about that I should say about the baby that he wanted to tell her. And again, such a just a normal day-to-day experience, but as the people were leaving, the shop was quiet, and I said, listen, I just feel, you know, there are going to be some challenges, but I feel God wants to just say, don't worry, don't stress out, everything is going to be okay. And you could see, she's like, oh, you know, and but she was very open, and she said, yeah, I tend to worry quite a lot. And I just thought, well, maybe that's why God is saying, just trust Him, put your faith in Him. And she was very open to receive that. And I was so encouraged because it's just normal. There was one or two other experiences that we had on that same day. But just any everyday encounters, but opportunities to either just say thanks for the coffee or to say, you know what, I feel this is what God is saying, or God bless, or, you know, just to be aware of what Holy Spirit wants to do and to speak it. Are you with me? Challenging stuff. Okay. Let's quickly look at John 5. From 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said, he said some things that really offended the guys. Okay, you can go read the rest of the chapter. And they were like, whoa, this is freaky stuff. This is too much. And then some of the guys left. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Living words. Who else? You know, we said you have the words of eternal life. And this, look at the next one there. Matthew 10, 7 to 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Guys, each of us are here because we have received words of life. Because we have received impartation of life. Because somebody has gone through the trouble of reaching out to us. Freely we have received. Freely we can give. Each of us here have experienced healing of some kind, deliverance of some kind. When we meet with Christ, you cannot be the same. Amen. You know, some people that say, no, I just evolved into being a Christian. I don't know how that works. I don't see that in Scripture. You know what my life was like when I met Jesus? You know, when you, I don't know, I hope you don't know, but when you get hit by a 20-ton truck, yeah, nobody here knows what that is like, I trust. It's in the same way, you cannot be the same. Seriously. The same with Jesus. When you meet Him, you know about it, okay? There's the change there. It's positive change, but freely we've received words of life. Freely we can give. Amen. In 1991, there was a small boy in a little town. A place outside of Pretoria in South Africa. He wasn't a very popular little boy. He had very thick glasses, and he wasn't very good at sport or anything like that. And he didn't have many friends, but he was born again. And he took the trouble of inviting me to a church service. And it's because of him taking that boldness to invite me that I can be here today. It's because he didn't care what I thought. I don't think I was a very cool guy, but I suppose I was one of the more, you know, popular, or I was reasonably good at sport as well. But it's because he took boldness to invite me, and I praise the Lord, I agreed. And I got saved. Each of us have got somebody like that in our life. Somebody was praying. Somebody that took the trouble to invite you, to bug you until you listened. Guys, let's be that somebody for somebody else. Let's impart life. Let's trust God. Let's extend our faith. Freely we have received. Freely we can give. Amen. Okay, John 6:37-39. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's such a beautiful picture, but that's what it's like. On a hot day, when you're thirsty, or if you haven't had water for a couple of hours, you can go without water for, I think, 3 days or so. That's dangerous, though. That's not good. But that fresh, cold water, that is what we can give to people around us. People are thirsty. People are in need of Jesus. And we can give that. Rivers of living water. And it's not, I'm reading this specifically because it's not like I'm going to go and psych myself up now and I'm going to say, "Lord, I'm going to be a super Christian and I'm going to preach at every guy comes around, I'm going to smack them with my Bible." Okay, this is not a very big one. I can get a big one. No, I'm saying by the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ that's in us, we can impart life. Not only to our own family, not only to those people that we like, but to every soul that we encounter. That is the reason why we're here, guys. Let's just be honest, okay? That's why Shofar is here. To see souls saved. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ exists, is to make disciples. To exalt the name of Jesus. There's no other reason. You know, I reckon if we didn't have this life to give, we would just be, you know, beamed up into heaven the moment we get saved. No worries. As the Australians say, no worries, mate. You know, what this all this nonsense on earth. Anyway, I'm finished now, so we can close that. You know, if Jesus didn't have a job for us, he can just, you know, call us home when we get saved. Job done. But guys, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. We've got the life in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's getting very hot in here. Bisa, do you want to resurrect that thing there, please? Let's stand for a moment this morning. If you want to, you don't have to. If you're able to stand with us, and we're going to pray. But guys, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive life. It's not a pool. It's not like a swimming pool or a thing that's stagnant. It's a river. I see this picture of it, just a channel, just a big pipe, okay? And the water, there's no obstructions. The water is just coming through. It's not standing still. It's not being paused somewhere. There's no tap in there. It's just coming through. And that's, I see us, our lives. God is the source of life, and we just the channels, you know, we just go, and wherever we go, people get blessed. Wherever we go, people get life. Amen. I could have had that coffee in the Netherlands and said, you know what, bless you, have a good pregnancy. But God said, no, wait, got a plan here. Let's bless this lady. There's so many moments, and we have life to give. We've got life to impart. We've got fresh water to give. And this morning, this is not to make you feel terrible because you haven't been doing this. This is, I'm saying myself, this is a place of saying, God, I want to partner with you. This is why I'm here. Freely I've received. Freely I want to give. Okay. I want us to pray if one of the band or both can come up and play a bit in the background. I'd really appreciate that. Okay. So guys, maybe we don't all get to pray for dead people every day, but we've got a lot of opportunities to impart life. Amen. Okay, let's close our eyes. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much. I just sense God wants to say to each person here, the reason why He's drawing us near and the reason why He wants to partner with us is because He loves us. It's not because He wants to give you a job or He wants to make you stress or He wants you to work or He wants to just abuse you. It's not that. This is what we've been created to do. And the more you and I will step into what we've been created for, the more fulfilled we become, the more blessed we are. And all right, now I just felt, see, some of us are tempted to fall under condemnation now. This is not condemnation. This is the Spirit of God saying, be part of this. Choose to be a part of what I'm doing every moment. It's an invitation. It's saying, you've got life. You've got words of life. You've got fresh water. Give it to somebody. Pass it on. And right now, I just feel Holy Spirit is saying there's many of us here that what stops us is fear and insecurity. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the fear of man in this place. In the name of Jesus. Every fear, I speak to you now. I say, get out of this place. Leave the people of God. Those that are the fears that are bugging us every day, I expose you now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for an impartation right now of a boldness that is from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, even with like Peter and John, Lord, that people, when people meet with us, they will be astounded. What's it with these people? Why are they different? Lord, I pray that they will see the Spirit of God upon us, God, right now. I thank you, Lord, for a godly boldness. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that instead of fear, you pour out your perfect love, God, into our hearts by your Spirit, Lord. And thank you that it's that love that casts out every fear, God. And it's that love that compels us to love as we have been loved, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for a bold love. Thank you for a fearless love, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you. I just see a picture now that there's lots of our eyes are blocked with stuff going on. And I thank you right now. You remove every scales from eyes now in Jesus' name. You remove blinds, Lord, that would keep us from seeing what you're doing. And I thank you right now that you open our eyes in the Spirit, Lord, that we would see what you see, Father. That person sitting on the desk next to mine, that they are in need of Christ. Lord, that we would see the person on the bus, that we would see the person behind the counter, that we would not see just the physical, but we would see what you see, Father. A person that is hungry, a person that is thirsty for you, a person that is in need of love, in need of forgiveness. In Jesus' name. If you are able to, if you just want to, let's just pray in the Spirit just for a moment. Yeah, I just feel that if you're here this morning and you have some wrestles, you've been wrestling about some things, and maybe you're here this morning, while every eye is closed, you're here this morning, maybe you didn't even expect to be here, but you're wrestling with some things around God and around relationship with Him, and you know that something must change. And I don't know what it is, but I just feel that God wants to give you an opportunity to make right if something is not right with your relationship with Him. And I just feel the Father is standing like we see in the parable of the lost son. He's standing, waiting, he's looking, he's expectant. He's waiting for you to come draw near again. And while every eye is closed, it's not about the person next to you. If that's you this morning and you know, I need to fix this, I need to make something right, I need to remove something that's keeping me from God, I need to draw near to Him again. Maybe you've drifted off a bit, and there's some things that have happened that have caused a bit of a divide. This morning I feel the Father is stretching out His hand saying, come, come to me. I love you. I want to restore what's been broken. I want to restore what's been missing. And while every eye is closed, if that's you this morning, if you can just just show to God, just lift your hand and we're just going to pray together. This is not about anybody next to you, but if you want to just draw near to the Father this morning, if you can lift your hands, thank you. If you want to just draw near to Him, if you know there's something amiss in your relationship with Him, or if you're here this morning and maybe don't have a relationship with Him, if you would like one, please just, if you want to extend your hands, we're going to pray together. Okay, I just want us to all pray together loudly now. And just again, just commit our hearts to Him. Are you ready? Father God.
Father God.
Let's try again. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That you loved us first.
That you loved us first.
That you loved me first.
That you loved me first.
Before I could do anything.
Before I could do anything.
Before I could prove anything.
Before I could prove anything.
Before I could earn anything.
Anything.
You showed your love.
You showed your love.
By sending your son.
By sending your son.
To die for me.
To die for me.
I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive that love.
I receive that love.
I thank you for it.
Thank you for it.
And I choose, Lord.
And I choose, Lord.
To bow the knee to you again.
To bow the knee to you again.
To give you my whole life.
To give you my whole life.
Every part of me.
Every part of me.
I entrust to you.
I entrust you.
You are my Lord and Savior.
You are my Lord and Savior.
And I choose, Lord.
And I choose, Lord.
To draw near to you.
To draw near to you.
Knowing that you draw near to me.
Knowing that you draw near to me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, I thank you that you restore hearts that were hurt, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you that you cover with your grace and with your mercy hearts that have been broken, Father. Thank you that you mend. Thank you that you renew. Thank you that you bring new life this morning, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you also, I just feel God wants to, he's throwing the doors of the throne room wide open. He's just saying that they haven't been closed. They're wide open. At the moment that Christ died, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. The veil that was separating the presence of God from the people, and he said, it's finished. It's open now. You can come. Through the blood of Jesus, you can come. And I just feel God is saying, come to me. Draw near to me. If you feel you've been far off, come closer to me. Draw near to me. I just feel God wants to give rest, wants to give times of refreshing in his presence. Thank you for this, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, for it. You fill us afresh this morning with boldness, God. Thank you that you fill us afresh with fearlessness, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for impartation, Lord, that we of faith and of expectation that we can go out there, Lord, expecting that to impart life to every person we encounter, expecting the bit of a spark, to expect to, as we even speak a word of encouragement, as we speak whatever God tells us to speak, as we bless them, as we serve somebody, as we bless our neighbors, whatever we do, God, thank you that you give us opportunity to be a blessing, Father, to impart life, God. And in the name of Jesus, thank you that we will see those opportunities even in this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, let your name be glorified, God. Let your name be lifted up in and through us, Lord, this week, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I want to pray for some people specifically. If you feel, for some, I feel the Lord wants to, you know, like the prophet, I think it was Jeremiah, God called him to be a prophet to the nations, and he said, Lord, I can't do this. My lips are unclean. And the Lord just touched his lips with like a coal, a fire. But the Lord cleansed him, and he said, listen, don't worry. I will put the words in your mouth. I will make this happen. Amen. So I feel there's somebody like that. There's a few of you maybe that need to come forward, and we'll pray for that. And then also others, if you just want to take a stand and you say, Lord, I want to be deliberate in loving people. I want to be deliberate in imparting life, but I don't know how to do that. Just come forward. I want to anoint you, and we want to pray together. We want to trust God just for a shift to happen. If you want to take a stand for that and trust God to move something, I'm trusting Him to move something in my heart. Amen. I want you also to, in a moment, just to join me in the front here. Guys, the other day we had new neighbors moving in next door, so we're praying for them, that they can have some sleep, because sometimes our children are awake at night and they're screaming and stuff when they're getting, especially David is getting teeth. But in any case, so Anna made them an amazing meal. Okay, she is a brilliant cook. Praise the Lord. You can see that. I'm having to wear bigger clothes. And she baked. So she baked them some cupcakes and some, I don't know, it was lasagna or something. And we took it over there, and it was not because we were trying to get rid of food, but we deliberately wanting to bless. We deliberately wanting to position ourselves that we can impart life. Amen. It's a brilliant opportunity, and now we can build on that. We can make a plan. There's been a connection. You know, we blessed them, but we can impart life. I want to say, guys, be deliberate. Okay. I love the cult. Who was telling us the story? One of our guys in Weybridge. When he joined this company a couple of years ago, it's quite a high pressure environment. They build satellites, can't make mistakes. Things go badly wrong, cost a lot of money. And he started a culture of making coffee for people. People thought, what's this guy on about? You know. So for a couple of years, he says he was the only one offering to make coffee for people, and he was making coffee, and he said when he left there it became a culture. Now people are blessing each other. It's just a small thing, guys, but if there's not just a culture where you live or where you work, then start it. So today I will start a culture of blessing. Okay, so if you're one of those, if you want to come forward and take a stand, to be an agent of life, to have that impartation of life, then please come forward. I want to pray with you. Or if you need to have your to also just feel that the cleansing in your, to the Lord will put a words in your mouth that you can be deliberate in this, please come to the front. I'm just going to anoint you. I'm going to trust Holy Spirit for impartation. Trust for words of encouragement. Okay, so if that's you, or even if you just want encouragement, please come to the front and we'll pray for you. Okay, and if you are sick, I've got great news. Jesus is the healer. Amen. So please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, have some refreshments. Be blessed. Guys, I've got a massive expectation for each one of you to have divine, Holy Spirit, life-imparting moments this week. Okay? And I know you're going to pray for me tomorrow when I pray for that guy. But I'm praying for you to have those moments. Amen. Bless you. So if you need prayer, come to the front. Thanks.